What is happening, people of the interwebs? Before we get to this episode of Jesus and Coffee, there's something I'd like to tell you about. First of all, I love podcasts. If you didn't know that already, I am telling you right now, I absolutely love podcasts. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love talking and I love sharing my ideas and my perspective and other people's perspective as I bring them on as guests. And I think podcasts are the fastest growing trend in media right now. And one thing that we have done here at Fraser Industry Studios, who produces Jesus and Coffee, is we've created a course. It's called the Do Podcast Course. For anybody that is interested in getting into podcasts, we have got a course that takes you from start to finish, everything you need to know about podcasting, all the equipment, all the software, everything you need to know. And it is something that you can go to do things online. You can subscribe now. There is a free option where you can get insight on how to start your own podcast with just your phone, and then you can upgrade to any other course as you go along if you like. So I just wanted to tell you about that, and that this show, this episode today, is brought to you by the Do Podcast Course. If I could say that right, it's my own course. I can say it right. The Do Podcast Course. Check out it today. Do things online. With that, let's get to Jesus and Coffee. What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome back to another episode of Jesus and Coffee. Man, it is a crazy time right now. I don't know about you, but there are things that are happening that are just, it's making my head spin. It really is. We are, we just finished Easter. Literally yesterday was Easter. Today's the Monday after. Is there a name for today? I don't think so. But anyways, it's been a weird time with everything going on and shutdowns, and that's really what I wanted to come in and talk to you about. It's been something that's been pretty prevalent in my thought process and probably in a lot of yours, and it's something that's all over the internet. It's the trending topic. One of the other shows that I do called TSTO, Trending Stories Taking Over. It seems like all of the stories are related to what's happening with the coronavirus and everything in and around that, and it's just so nuts. And we don't necessarily know how to deal with it. And as Christians, I think there's some things that I'm seeing come out from specifically from other Christians and from churches that I'm a little bit confused about. But I want to bring maybe some biblical perspective to kind of help shape how we react to this, how we are as Christians putting out what we believe in an opportunity. I think we have an opportunity to make an impact. But I want to talk to you about that. And so specifically what I'm talking about is this idea that churches are having to close because of all of the government, restrictions that are being put on meetings of anything over 10. And I think it's probably even in some states, it's more strict than that, but you can't meet in groups of 10 or more. And in lots of states, like I said, you can't meet at all. And that is something that's affecting churches very much so, because most of our churches have a larger population than 10. But something that's been happening a lot, and a lot of the things I'm seeing over social media and on the internet, is people saying, we are not closing our churches. We are not going to close our churches. We're not going to let the government and this virus shut down the church. And this one story right here I see from the Wall Street Journal, there's lots of stories out there, but this one, some churches fight to open on Easter despite coronavirus shutdowns. And the subtitle here is, political and legal battles center on tension between the right to worship and protecting public health. In quotes, we're subordinating God to a non-essential part of our country. Now, I want to talk about that. I hear where that's coming from. And I think that the fear of the people in the church, specifically people in leadership of the church, are concerned that we're quote-unquote calling the church a non-essential activity because there are essential businesses. I'm a CPA. My business is an essential business, and it is considered allowed to stay open. Now, I'm still not allowed to have like 10 clients in my office, and I'm actually not having any clients in my office. I'm opting to do everything virtually and using the internet so that I'm not actually interacting with people as much as possible. And the church is come out in a lot of different ways, but there are a lot of Christians specifically and then Christian leaders that are defying this government. It's still recommendation, I think, at this point. There are very few places where it is illegal to meet. Now, funny story, my family and I, we were going to meet with our, we're going to have dinner with our extended family, and we just went to a local parking structure and went on the top just to kind of, we had our cars parked. We were very very much more than 6 feet apart. So we were not breaking social distancing guidelines. And we were just there. We brought our own food and we were just kind of sitting apart and talking and kind of having family connect time and trying to make the best out of this opportunity. And we were there for about, 30, 45 minutes. We had eaten our food. We kind of had started to wrap up, but our kids were there and they were having fun, like running around. It was an empty parking structure. I mean, how much more if you're a kid? That's super fun. So we're there and we're finishing up, and all of a sudden from the ramp below, this car pulls up and it's a cop car. And the police officer comes up, parks, gets out, and she walks up to us and she says, I'm sorry, but you can't be here. And we kind of looked around like, well, we're following social distancing guidelines. We're not doing anything. She says, well, let me be honest with you. I got a call from somebody saying that there was a party happening on top of the this parking structure and there are people trespassing, so we needed to go check it out. So that was the call that she got to come and say, hey, these people can't be here. Now, a couple of things about that. First of all, it was a parking structure on private property, can put that in quotes. It wasn't necessarily a park or something like that, but it was something where they are not allowed to have people gather. Now, in our city, it's not illegal, but there is something to be said when the cop gets called and they actually show up to tell you not to meet. Like, there's a thing. There's something happening around us that we need to pay attention to. We need to be careful with. Now, it was funny because she laughed about it. She said, can I take a picture and send it to my partner and say that this was the disturbance that we got called on and we had to make them leave? So, In all seriousness, it was not a big deal. However, within the guidelines and what we're trying to do in this country to make sure that this disease doesn't go extremely crazy and we protect as many people as possible, we need to follow these guidelines. Now, within the church specifically, there are a lot of people, like I said, like this article about churches fighting to stay open over Easter. I don't necessarily agree that we need to fight to stay open physically in churches. And let me back this up, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying we need to make sure that the church is something that is an essential thing. It's a big part of this country. And at the same time, I don't disagree with that. That's not something that I disagree with. However, I want to give you some perspective. So something that a verse that I actually absolutely love, and it's been one of the verses that my family does, we do wristbands with verses on them every year, kind of like the family verse. And this has been one of our family verses before. It's Jeremiah 29:11, and you probably know it. But right here, let me just pull it up real quick so you can see it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And a lot of people see that verse, and like I do, and it makes you feel comforted. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel like this is hard, but you know what? God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for me. And I believe that he does. But however, if we look at this verse in context, and I think it's very interesting because a lot of times we take verses out of context because it makes us feel good, honestly. And this verse, the prophet Jeremiah was coming to the Hebrews that were in Babylon, and they were in exile because they weren't being very good Israelites. And there was a prophet Hananiah that was saying that they were going to be out of Babylon in 2 years. And Jeremiah got a vision, said, no, it's going to be 70. If you look here in verse 10, directly before, it says right here, this is what the Lord says, the Lord came to Jeremiah. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. So somebody was saying, Hananiah was saying 2 years. Jeremiah is saying, no, God said 70 years, which means, yes, he has a plan and for a hope and a future, but it's not now. And it's not anytime soon. This is a different generation was going to get this. And we need to make sure that we take that in perspective, that this verse is talking about, yes, God has a plan for us for a hope and a future, but it may not be now. And honestly, it may not be in this life. It may not be something that we get to actually see here with our family and our friends on this earth. And if we're Christians and if we truly believe that God has come and forgiven us of our sins so that we can live in eternity, that's where the real promise is in the afterlife. It's not here on this earth. And just to take it a step further than just the context of Jeremiah 29:11, because I love that verse personally, and it still makes me feel good to know that there is a hope and a future, but it may not be on this earth. So if you go to Matthew, this I love looking at the words of Jesus. Obviously, this is the Jesus and Coffee Show. We talk about Jesus. We drink coffee. Speaking of which, I need a little coffee. And so in these passages I'm going to show you, two of them in Matthew, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his head dudes, the guys that are going out, that are around him the most, that they learned from him the most. And they, after his death and resurrection, they went out and spread the gospel. So he's talking right here in Matthew. We are in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 21 and 22. So he's getting ready to send the disciples out and have them go to these cities and minister and do this. And he's giving them details of what's going to happen. But here in verse 21, he says this. He says, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." That's pretty heavy. People are going to hate you because of me, he says. He's telling his disciples right then. And then he says it again later when Matthew 24, verses 7 through 9, the disciples are asking, hey, when is the end times? When is this going to happen? When can we be assured that this life is over and we get to live in eternity in this paradise that you've talked to us about? And he says here in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 9, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." And then in verse 9, it says this, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." Now, if you've read Jeremiah 29:11 before and you've said, hey, hope in a future, it's going to be great. This life is going to be off and I'm awesome. I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be successful. That's not what that verse is about. Our reward is not here in this life. Our reward is in eternity. Sometimes we may get rewards and there may be benefits in this life. However, it says right here in verse 9, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." In America specifically, guys, we have an amazing freedom to worship, to have churches, to live out our faith without having to be afraid of talking about it. Now, in some places, it's starting to feel a little bit more like that's an issue. Like we can't be as vocal as maybe we feel like we are called to be. However, that shouldn't stop us because Jesus told his own disciples that people are going to hate you because of me. This life isn't easy. This is not a thing that is going to be cush and wonderful all the time. It is cushy and wonderful, and in the end, it's totally worth it. However, right now, we are getting to the point where with everything going on around us, there is going to be focus on the church and how we handle all of this. How are we responding as Christians and as the church, and how are we showing the world Jesus? That's the one thing I'm really concerned about with how we're approaching this as churches and as Christians to say, you know what, we're not going to follow this law. We're not gonna abide by what your rules are because we want to go to church. Because realistically, that's what I think it comes down here is people are afraid and they're focused on a physical place that is the church, not the people that are the church. The building is not part of the body of Christ. The people are part of the body of Christ. And that's something I've really been paying attention to a lot recently is the people are the thing. The connection, the community that we don't get when we're not in person. I understand that and I feel it. I am a people person. I am all about engaging in person, one-on-one, shaking hands. I'm a hugger. Like that's my thing. That's my jam. But there are going to be times where we have to be subservient to rules and laws that we have to pay attention to because they're not saying you can't be a Christian. That's one thing I think people are focusing on. Like people are saying, you can't go to church. You're not going to tell me I can't go to church. They're not telling you you can't be a Christian. They're not telling you you can't have faith. They're just saying, for the betterment of society, so that we can get a handle on this, please stay home. There's so many things that we can do staying home. We had our entire Easter service online. We've been doing online for the past 4 weeks. and we did Easter online, and I actually think it came off very well. And my family specifically, we had a great Easter worshiping online, and then we did so many things together that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to do because it was just us. We weren't serving at church. It actually enhanced our Easter having it be home. So I don't know what it was like for you. That's different for everybody. But you guys, this life is not supposed to be easy. Jesus said, you'll be hated because of me. He told his own disciples, hey, this is not going to go well. And then there's another place in the Bible. I want to point out one more scripture, just in case you were like, okay, I don't believe you. I think this life should be nice and fun and fluffy. Here's one more verse. So here we go in James. I'm going to take you into James. And it's funny thing about this verse. So I was in a play in high school, and it was called House of Faith. It was at our church. And this is one of the verses I had to memorize for my lines because it was something where my character, life wasn't going well. And so I had to figure out what to do with that. And I was disturbed and I was depressed and it wasn't good. Which I think where a lot of people are right now with stay at home and the coronavirus, and people are literally affected. This thing is real. Whether you think it's a whole lot worse than the flu or not, there are people that are affected. I've got friends and friends with family that are directly affected, and it is a real thing, and it is not fun. But there are so many things that we need to look at this and say, okay, big picture, how are we going to be Jesus? How are we going to show the world that we're different and we're not just sticking it to the man, even though sometimes we feel like we want to? And this verse in James 1, it talks about trials and tribulations, and it's actually rejoicing in trials and tribulations. And this is another verse for me that I have gone to a lot because I feel like it's been worked out to be true in my life. When I face trials and tribulations, when I get through them, it is so much better on the other side. It's not perfect, and it's not exactly what I expected, but it's so much better. So here in James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish its work. What does it say? Be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You guys, how are you going to respond to this? How are you going to be different? How are you going to stand out and be a witness for Jesus? And it's not because you're going to say, hey, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to the place that I feel like I need to go to. I don't think that that's the answer. I feel like we can follow the rules and we can be good citizens and we can still make an impact for Jesus because there's so many things like technology. If you're watching or listening to this right now, you know that there are so many ways that you can reach people and you can share the gospel message and you can make a difference. Don't let these rules and regulations cause you to fight and feel like, you know what, that's taking away my church. Because you know what? Church isn't the physical building. The building is not part of the body of Christ. The people are part of the body of Christ. That's what it is, guys. You got to make sure that we're focused on the right things. Jeremiah 29:11 is not a scripture that is telling us that this life is going to be great. This life is great. I love this life. Especially the trials, because after the trials, great things happen. You guys, don't forget that. Great things happen in the midst of trials, especially in the midst of trials. All right, guys, this is something that I am really passionate about, and I think that we all need to be focused on what it is that God's doing and how you can use this time and get through this struggle and the issues and show Jesus to people. Make a difference. Make an impact. Go out there. Follow what the Bible says. Follow what Jesus says. Hey, I mean, the world is going to hate you because of him. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I think that's the big question. All right, guys, that's it. Jesus and coffee. I'm Todd Frazier. And man, don't let the coronavirus get your faith down. It might get your spirits down, but not your faith. Get out there, drink up, be blessed, and we will see you on the next episode of Jesus and Coffee. Thanks for checking out the Jesus and Coffee podcast. We're really excited that you're here with us. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. And if you have any feedback you'd like to give us, leave us a review, as many stars as you like, but comment and give us an idea of what you're getting out of this or what you'd like to hear differently. Also, you can email us, Jesus and Coffee Show@gmail.com. You can get us there, or you can go to the website, jesusandcoffeeshow.com, and it takes you there. You can find all the episodes. You can find our YouTube channel. You can find all the things. We are really blessed to have you as part of our community. We want to get out there, talk about Jesus. We want to drink coffee and spread the gospel as we're called to do in Matthew 28 as Christians. Thanks so much for being here. And this has been the Jesus and Coffee Show. I'm Todd Frazier. Drink up and be blessed.